John. God uses men and has chosen to use men to propagate His Word and also to propagate the Gospel. As representatives of God, we are ambassadors to a lost and dying world. God is always seeking for someone to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap between God and man. Ezekiel talks about that. Ezekiel 22:30 says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge to stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." And then he says the sad thing, "But I found none." That's one of the things we've got to make sure, that we stand in the gap, that we help people to understand why Jesus died on the cross, why He shed His blood for our sins, why it's so important to have an understanding and a belief and a trust in Him, because without it, they will die and go to hell and spend all eternity there. That's just as simple as I can make the gospel. When a man named E.M. Bounds wrote a book, he wrote a lot of books on prayer. In fact, if you want books on prayer, his book called Power Through Prayer is probably one of the best books ever written on prayer. So it's Power Through Prayer, E.M. Bounds, B-O-U-N-D-S, one of the best writers. He wrote this: "We are constantly on a stretch, if not a strain, to devise new methods, new plans, new organizations to advance the church and to secure enlargement and efficiency for the gospel. This trend of the day," and he wrote many years ago, and it's worse now, "this trend of the day has a tendency to lose sight of the man or sink the plan, man in the plan of organization. God's plan is to make much of the man for more of Him than of anything else. Men are God's method. The church is looking for better methods. God is looking for better men." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He goes on to quote in his book. Listen, God chooses us as His instruments to get the gospel out. God chose John. John baptized to point people to Jesus. In fact, he told people in Acts, and I hope we'll get there tonight, he told people, "You need to believe on Him which cometh after me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to bear. He must increase, but I must decrease." He was always pointing people to Jesus. And by the way, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be making sure that we point people to Jesus, we get out of the way, we must decrease in order for Him to increase. We've got to shine the light on Jesus Christ. That's what John did. That's what we need to do. That's what this church needs to do. We don't need methods. We need men and women and children that are willing to tell other people about Jesus Christ, because that is the only answer for the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for Your many blessings. Lord, I pray that, Lord, in this group, there'll be people that'll say, "I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. I want to be that child." And I pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. You wonder, why are you made sons of God? I know that's a curious thing and talks about the new man inside you. Do you realize that the daughter never had an inheritance under the law? It was always the man, the young man, the son that got the inheritance. And what God does is He makes sure that we're all included in that inheritance. He doesn't say sons and daughters. He says sons of God. He doesn't say new woman. He says new man inside you. Why is that? Because we all have the potential to have an inheritance directly from God, because He makes us all the sons of God. Now, that may seem odd, but that's the way the Bible reads. And that does make sense if you study the Old Testament law and look at those things. But God takes note of certain men. Remember, He took note of Job in the Old Testament, Simeon in the New, and John in the New. In Job 1:1, the Bible says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Now, that doesn't mean he lived sinlessly perfect. He was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Boy, if you could just have that said about you. You fear God and you eschew evil. Job 1:8 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan," now this part you probably don't want, Hast thou considered my servant Job? You want somebody to go test and tempt and try? Have you considered my servant Job? Now, just place your name in there and tell me if you'd want God to point the devil out over in your way. I don't know about you, but I'm not really wanting that to happen to me. I wish I could know that I would stand the test of time like Job did. But you look at what Job went through whenever God said, hey, there's a man that loves me because he loves me. Boy, that's what I want to do. I want to love God because of who he is. Not just what he's done for me, but because of who he is. He says, have you considered my servant Job that there's none like him in the earth? Job must have been very peculiar. A perfect man, an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He told Satan that and said, hey, you can, now you gotta remember, Satan still had the power of death back then. Not until Jesus went to the cross did he take the keys of death and hell. He took the keys of death and hell, and now Satan doesn't have the power of death. But before he had the power of death, remember Job's children were all killed? Why? Well, because Satan brought that wind in and killed them all. Satan cannot take your life today. He can't do it. He doesn't have the power of death anymore. Luke chapter 2 talks about Simeon. Verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. God looks for a man. He looks for a woman. He looks for young people to serve him and love him and live for him. And listen, there is no other greater purpose in life than to find out what God wants you to do in your life. There is no greater thing than to know that God has a purpose for you and you are in the center of that purpose, doing His will, living for Him. There's nothing more important than that. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Go ahead and turn over there. Luke chapter 1, verse 13. But the angel said unto him, this is Zacharias, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. God gave a special calling to John. And there it is right there. God has a special calling for you too. The question is, will you ever find out what it is that God wants you to do? Or will you spend your days trying to find out what life is all about? You realize that most people have no clue the purpose of life. We are created for His pleasure. Purpose of life, in general, here it is. You and I are created to please God every day of our lives. That's why He created us. That's why He made us. That's why we're on earth. Well, if you're here to please Him and I'm here to please Him, what pleases Him? That's why you find out what the Bible says and you do what the Bible says, because that's what pleases Him. John is called in Luke 1, look at verse 76. He's called the prophet of the highest. Luke 1, verse 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His way. He had a specific purpose. That was to go before the Lord to prepare His way. He's called a prophet of the highest. There was no greater born among women than John. Nobody greater than John. John was sent to talk about a person, not about a religion. He was sent to bear witness of the Son of God. God said John was the greatest of prophets. Turn to Matthew chapter, you're here in Luke, look at Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, look at verse 28. The Bible says, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I don't even know what to tell you about that. Not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. That's pretty interesting. If you look in the Old Testament, you've got people like Isaiah and Jeremiah. They preached reform. Ezekiel preached doom. Hosea preached repentance, as did Jonah. Micah 2 preached repentance. John preached to show people the Savior. He pointed to Jesus. He was the forerunner before Jesus. The whole point in John's ministry was to magnify the Lord. By the way, the whole purpose in my ministry is to magnify the Lord. The whole purpose in your life and your walk on this earth is to magnify the Lord. If we'll magnify the Lord and lift Him up, people will see Him. They won't see us. And it can make a difference in their lives. I don't want people to see me. I want people to see Jesus Christ. You look at people in the Old Testament, they were sent. Remember it says he was sent from God? Joseph was a sent man. Psalm 105 verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Remember what happened with Joseph? I get to thinking about this all the time, and I know people get real discouraged in life and look at their situation and think, man, nothing will ever work out. My life's a mess, and maybe it is. Maybe you're reaping what you've sown. But maybe it's like Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers, thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, got into the prison, rose to the top, was falsely accused, and you know, how he wasn't killed, I just think that the king didn't believe his wife, and he didn't kill him for it. And then one day somebody said, well, I know somebody that can interpret dreams. He interpreted the bakers and who was the other one? The baker and the waiter, I don't know what he was. The cupbearer. He interpreted those two dreams. And they told the king about it, and the king called him up, and he interpreted it, and then all of a sudden Joseph is second to the Pharaoh. Isn't that amazing? And he said, listen, you did it for evil, but God meant it for good. So God will use people in this life that mean bad for you to bring about the best for God and the best for you. That's encouraging to me because there's a lot of people that just don't get it. They want to do you harm. They know you're a Christian and they don't want you shine the light of Christ on their sin. Listen, people don't like the light because they love darkness. Why? Their deeds are evil. If you're ever around people like that, listen, it won't be long. They either want you out of their way, gone, light. They want you like them, or you know, they want to hurt you, destroy you. You know what you got to do? Stand firm, stand true, stand tall. You don't let them win. You don't let them bring you down. You don't let them defeat you. You stay true to God. Listen, you don't have to be belligerent. You don't have to be a terrible person or a hateful person, but you got to stand your ground. You cannot. You can't compromise. You can't say, well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. The world wants to destroy every vestige of decency because then the devil's going to win. You know why America's going to fall? Because we're going to become decadent more than we are now. And listen, I never thought the day would be when there was gay pride more than there is Christian pride. Think about it. They're bold. Are you bold? They're active. Are you active? They're vocal. Are you vocal? And again, I don't mean in your face. I just mean you've got to get the gospel out. You've got to tell people about what happened to you. That's all you've got to do is tell them, look, I'm saved. I got saved. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven when I die. I got hope. I got peace. I got joy. But by the way, you got to have all those things. Christians many times don't have those things. They don't have joy and they don't have the hope that they should have. That's why Jesus gave you His Son to live within you. All you've got to do is figure out how to get Him coming out of you. You know, the Bible says work out your own salvation. How do you work out your own salvation? Well, the Bible says right before that Christ is in you. Work out your own salvation. Your salvation is Christ in you. You're to work that out so that others can see Jesus Christ in your life. It is the only hope people have on this earth is to see Jesus Christ in the lives of others. In Genesis chapter 45, that story, God did send me. It was not you that sent me hither, but God. That's what Joseph said. It wasn't you that sent me hither, it was God. Psalm 105 verse 26, Bible says He sent Moses, His servant. You got to be a servant to be sent. John was a servant. Paul was a servant. Peter was a servant. We need to be servants. And then as servants, we need to be sent. And He'll send us to do what His purpose is. And His purpose is to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. Listen, they're not going to necessarily like the light, see the light. But you and I have a responsibility to show them the light. Show them the light. The Bible says in verse 7, John chapter 1, verse 7, John's a witness to all men. John 1, 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. All men, John's mission. He was sent to bear witness of the light so that all men might believe. His baptism was supposed to bear witness of Jesus Christ. His baptism didn't wash away sins because baptism can't wash away sins. Water doesn't wash away sins. The blood washes away sins. And the blood wasn't going to be shed until the cross of Calvary. But if people believed on Jesus, they could be saved. They had to believe the revelation that God gave. It was not just a select few either, or the select elect that could believe. It was all men. All men. Look at the verse. To bear witness of the light that all men through Him might believe. There is not anybody that doesn't have a chance to believe. God gives light in the world, and then He says, I'm going to point you to the light, which is Jesus Christ. But all men receive that light. The book of John contains some form of the word believe 99 times in 85 verses. Believed 52 times, believed 27 times, believeth 17 times, and believest 3 times. The most important thing to understand about John's baptism, that it saved no one. His witness, his message, and his baptism all pointed his listeners to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. How do you know that for sure? Turn to Acts 19. I remember when I saw this verse in Acts 19, it just blew me away. Because when you're reading the book of John, you don't really read all this about John like you do in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, and you could go back to 18, we're not going to do it, but Acts 19:1, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. They were disciples of John. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, listen, I wouldn't ask anybody that question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Well, it's redundant. When you believe, you receive the Holy Ghost. That isn't the way it was in the past. This is a transition period. There are people that believe John's baptism, but they didn't follow it through to Christ. And that's important. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. They stopped short. They had never believed on Jesus. They had never been baptized after they believed on Jesus. All they knew was John's baptism. And John's baptism was never intended to take away sins. Never intended to save. It was to point people to the Savior that was coming after John. Paul says this. Verse 4. John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance. And here's John's message. Look at it because you'll find it here. You may not. Listen. It's in Acts. John's message from John is in the book of Acts. This is what John said to the people, that they should believe on Him which should come after Him, that is on Christ Jesus. Jesus' message was, believe on Me, and you shall have everlasting life. If you believe not, you're condemned already because you hadn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You either believed on Jesus or you were condemned already. If you believed, you had the promise of eternal life before the cross. You had to go to a place called paradise. You have to understand that. Listen, nobody went to heaven before Jesus died on the cross because the blood wasn't shed. But that doesn't mean that God couldn't save somebody. God saved all kinds of people. He saved anybody that believed on Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Just read your Bible. That's what it says. It says if you believed in John over and over again, and if you believe not, you're condemned already. How do you go from condemnation to non-condemnation? You believe on Jesus. What was his message again? That they should believe on him which should come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. Now, if you are these men and you heard that message, and you believe that message, what are you going to do? You're going to believe. But you're never told that they believed. You're told they got baptized. But who gets baptized? Believers! So what you have is a gap in your Bible. Do you realize when you're reading Acts 16 about the Philippian jailer, you are never told that he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And a few verses later, it says that he and all his house got baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch is the clearest one. He says, well, if you believe he's the Son of God, he said, I believe he's the Son of God. And then they stopped the chariot and he got baptized. That's the clearest one in there. But most of the time, you are given the message, and the message you are supposed to understand before they got baptized, they had to believe. So look at the next verse. It says, when they heard this, what did they do? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, wait a minute. You mean they didn't get saved? That's dumb. But there are people that'll say, all you got to do is get baptized. See, look, all they did was baptize them. No. The message is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard this, you've got to assume they believed the message, and you're told they got baptized. If every word was in the Bible that you thought should be there, this book would be 10, 20, 50,000 pages. They believed, and they were baptized. But you have to, when they heard this, what did they do? They believed. When they heard this, they believed. Then they were baptized. You say you're adding to the Bible. I don't think so. Because if you study every time in the book of Acts, you are rarely told the actions they took. You're just told they got baptized. And it confuses people. But God put it in there because if you want to be confused, you can remain confused. God put Acts 2:38 in there where some Baptist, independent, Bible-believing Baptists teach Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They teach that's baptismal regeneration, that you have to do that or you're not saved. No. They were pricked in their hearts. Sirs, what must we do? They had already believed the message. They're pricked in their heart. They're saying, what do we need to do? Well, now you need to get baptized. And if you get baptized in Acts chapter 2, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 defines the gift of the Holy Ghost as speaking in tongues. Why? You're in that transition time. God's given the Jews a sign. The Jews require a sign. Tongues are for a sign. So whenever, how do these believers in Acts 2 know they were saved? Because they spoke in tongues, which was a language that people could understand. A language that they never learned. And that was the confirmation that they got saved. They didn't have a Bible to go to and go, well, just turn to Colossians. It'll tell you what happened to you now. Turn to Ephesians. Paul wasn't even saved yet in Acts chapter 2. Those verses, those passages weren't written yet. The Bible wasn't written down. They couldn't go to the Scripture like you and I can. God gave the Jew an advantage. He gave them signs. And you know what people want today? They want to say, well, that's us right there. No, it's not us. You don't get signs. You don't look for signs. In fact, you walk by faith and not by sight. Signs are sight. Signs are for the Jews. Signs were never, ever, ever for the Gentiles. So he says in verse 6, and when Paul had laid... Okay, so when they heard this, they were baptized in verse 5 in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now watch this. Verse 6. When Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Well, what are you going to do with that? It's a transition. How would they know that they got saved? Because when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, they spake with tongues, confirmation of their salvation. You and I don't get that. We get something even better. When I got saved, I got peace. I got joy. My whole life changed. That's what I got. I'd rather have that and walk by faith and not by sight, because once you start walking by sight, you got to keep walking by sight because you have no faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Just think about faith. Faith is not an easy thing to step out and say, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm the Lord's leading me to do this, and you know, a direction or a change. Or listen, faith isn't easy, but I'm going to tell you what, it's rewarding. There's nothing like it. Look at verse 8 of John 1. Look at John 1, 8. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. He ensured that the people understood that he was not the light, but simply bore witness to the light. You know what we do? We bear witness to the light. Capital L, look at that. There's a little L light, and there's a big L light. Every man has light when he comes in the world. Every man, the Bible says. But the light is Jesus, capital L. Look at John 1:19. Again, he pointed people to Jesus. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." He said it plainly. He exalted the light above himself. And you could read so many other verses in John chapter 1, verses 26 through the end of the chapter. Just read the verses. He magnified Jesus. He retreated into the background in the presence of the light and said, "I want to point you to the light," capital L. What about the witness? I won't go into Acts chapter 1, but Matthias, when he replaced Judas Iscariot, they were to be a witness of the resurrection. Turn to Acts chapter 1. I can't pass over it because it's such an important thing. In Acts chapter 1, I remember when I saw this about a couple of years ago. There's a witness. Okay, with your mouth, you're a witness. With your eyes, you witness. If you see something, you've witnessed it. If you talk about Jesus, you are a witness. Now watch that, because that's crucial to understanding what I'm getting ready to show you. It was life-changing for me because I was writing on this and I didn't have a grasp of this one thing that I need to show you tonight. Acts chapter 1, verse 20, "For it is written in the book of Psalms..." This is Judas, "Let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, his bishopric let another take." That's Judas Iscariot being replaced by another, the 12th apostle. "Wherefore of these men, two of them, which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord went in and out among us," so they're with him 3.5 years. That's one requirement. "Beginning from the baptism of John." When did they need to start? From the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us. So until the ascension, when he's taken up from us. All right. One of those two was going to be chosen. They had to be with them all the way. A disciple from the baptism of John all the way to the ascension. Now watch what the rest of the verse says. "Must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." His ordination is to talk about the resurrection, to be a mouth witness. He's ordained to be a witness of the resurrection, not a witness with his eyes, That's already a given because it says from the baptism of John to the same day he was taken up. That's the ascension. He had to be there for the resurrection. The verse is talking about being a witness, talking about Jesus. He has to be, he's ordained. I'm ordained to be a witness of the resurrection. I'm ordained to preach about the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel. I'm ordained to be that witness. But I've never seen it with my eyes, therefore I am not a witness in that degree. That's the difference. So that was life-changing for me because once I read that, that means everybody in Acts chapter 1 was a witness verbally of the resurrection. You read Peter in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, he's preaching the resurrection. He's preaching the death, the burial, the resurrection, trusting in Jesus Christ. People say, oh no, he's not telling the Jews to trust in Jesus Christ. He sure is. He has to be a witness of the resurrection. He's ordained to be a witness of the resurrection, just like the other 11 apostles are. One more verse. John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth what? That is crucial right here. Lighteth what? Every man that cometh into the world. So, is every man that cometh in the world given light? Yeah. Calvinism is absolutely a lie. Every man is given enough light to believe in the light. The true light. Let me give it to you this way. The Word, little w, of God is supposed to lead you to trust in the Word, capital W. Everyone has been given the light, little l, in order to come to trust in the light, capital L. A person will not be saved without the Word of God, that's written Word, but that Word must lead a person to trust in the Word, capital W, which is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who saves, not the Bible. Now that's important to understand. But it is the Jesus of the Bible who saves by trusting in what the Word of God says about the Word, capital W. People can have a Bible all day long, die and go to hell. But this is what saves, but it's the Savior in the book that saves. The universal light, every man. Every man, the universal light. You have light and know certain things. You know right from wrong instinctively. But that light you have must lead you to the light, the capital L, Jesus. Truth does not save you. Jesus saves you. Yet truth is light and can help lead you to Jesus. You see, that it's just the way it's got to work. You can have all the truth in the world and die and go to hell. You can have all the light in the world and die and go to hell. You got to have the Word and the light. You got to have Jesus. That's what you got to have. I go through quite a few more, but I won't. I'll close on this. Jesus said those born of women, there was not a greater than John the Baptist, but John the Baptist could not save anybody. He could simply point people to Jesus. There's not a greater book than the Word of God, but the book can't save you except as it points you to the Savior Jesus Christ. You can live right, talk right, walk right, but that is not going to save you. It's not what you do for the person of Jesus Christ. It's what the person does for you that's important. Many cults claim that the light has been in certain people, but John refutes this teaching. You know, they say, you know, Muhammad had the light, Confucius had the light. No, and you know, John the Baptist says, look, I'm not that light. And he is the greatest among all prophets. So let's listen to what he says in closing. In Romans 1, not what he says, what the Bible says. Romans 1:17, for therein is the rights of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God gives faith by measure. So what we've got to understand is, listen, John pointed people to Jesus Christ. We need to point people to Jesus Christ. That's our job. Whatever you do, you point them to Jesus. Listen, this church is a tool. I'm a tool. You're a tool. The Bible's a tool. The gospel tract is a tool. And we're going to use all the tools we can. But we have one goal and one goal only, and that is to point people to the capital L light, the capital W word, and we're going to use the Word of God to do it. Because there's nothing else that can save. It's the Word. So I hope that was clear to you, because I wrote it out, because when I said all that, there are people out there to go, wait a minute, he didn't lifting up the Word of God. Listen, this is a perfect book. Not an error in it. Not one thing needs changed. But you can have this and die and go to hell. But if you got the big W word, Jesus, that's what you need. You can have a lot of light, but if you don't have the L-I-G-H-T, capital L, you got nothing. Let's all stand together. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross of Calvary. Just pray, Lord, you have your will and your way during the invitation time. Lord, we just want people to contemplate. You don't need to go up there and play. Thank you. Lord, we just ask that you just have your will and your way during the invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want you to, you don't have to step out from your R. Sometimes I, you know, unless you need...